Welcome to Strength for the Journey. Strength for the Journey is a radio program designed to strengthen the believer. We have a website called Strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. That's Strength for the Journey with the number 4.com. And there's a number of articles that have been written. And the articles are, I believe, very educational as far as if you really are hungering for a deeper walk with the Lord. If you want are willing to step away from the crowd and quit comparing yourself with other people, but really want to be challenged in your own spiritual walk with the Lord, you'll enjoy these articles. There's a link also for all these radio programs that you're hearing. These radio programs are broadcast over the internet here in Panama through Ministerio del Espíritu. That's .org on their website, as well as on Flowing Streams. That's broadcast over shortwave radio across all the way from Alaska all the way to the East Coast in the United States and Canada. So if you're listening to this radio program via shortwave, I think you'll enjoy the website, Strength with the number 4, thejourney.com. There's a number of interviews that I've done with Rick Wiles on True News that you can go back and listen to, involving our testimony, a lot of our testimony of how the Lord called my family and myself from out of the United States and to move to a foreign land where we didn't know anybody, didn't know the language, but we knew God called us to go, and we were obedient. And many, many incredible things have happened since that time. And so I think you'll enjoy, if you really are looking to grow in your walk with the Lord, and if you're really hungering for more of God. One thing that the Lord really put on my heart when I got saved a number of years ago, back about 28 years ago, is I wanted to go out and change the world, and he kind of grabbed me by the neck collar, and he said, "Whoa, boy, let me tell you something. You're never going to change anybody. The only guy you'll ever change is the guy you see in the mirror every morning." But then he went on to say that the changes I allow him to make in me, he'll use to change others. So I realized that he wanted to do something inside of my life first. And what I've recognized that when I allow God to do something in my life, then I have a testimony of what God has done in me, and it's an encouragement that if God can do what he's done in my life, he can do it in another man's life, that he's no respecter of persons. So I think you'll be encouraged as you listen to these radio programs or any of the interviews or the articles. I try to put a lot of my own personal testimony in with these examples of what God wants to do, because I don't want to just talk some theoretical what God can do in somebody's life. I want to share what he's done in my life first, because that's really what's changed my life most, is when I hear something, what God has done in somebody else's life, I recognize that he can do the same thing in my life. And if we really are hungering for more of God, then we're looking for somebody that's leading the way or somebody that has gone beyond us. And I was told by a pastor of mine years ago that we always need to be reaching ahead for those that have gone ahead of us and reaching back for those who haven't gone where we've gone. So there's always a balance in our life of growing and reaching back at the same time. Tonight we're going to talk about the topic is really going to be, what is your destiny worth? I really feel this has been on my heart the last few days, that God is calling us to a abandonment of everything that we are and everything that we have. And he required a lot of those that he called when he walked the earth 2,000 years ago. And if he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then why wouldn't he be requiring the same out of us as he did of those that walked the earth 2,000 years ago? And really, when you think about it, he really is the Jesus that walked the earth 2,000 years ago is calling us to an all. That he's not just looking for us to just attend a church service on Sunday morning and sit in a church pew and call it good. He's calling us to lay down our life and everything that we have and everything that we are. And one of the things that I've learned as of recently, as much as God had done in my life, he's always challenging me for more. That when you think you've given his all, he asks more. And that the narrow road that we're to walk on is really a narrowing road. It doesn't stay constant. That the narrow road actually requires more out of us the more longer we walk with him. And it's calling more of an abandonment of who we are. And I think about what Peter said when he said that we've left all, and yet there was still more that God wanted out of Peter, which was his life. And there's a scripture in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, and Jesus said to his disciples, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" So this is something that God is asking of us, is that he's asking for everything in our life. He doesn't want just part of us. He wants all of us. And this is where sometimes we have to just determine what is our destiny worth. You know, there was a man that was searching. He said again, this is in Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. He said again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who found, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." And there's so many references to all that it takes all to get the very best. And what God has for us is something that just doesn't come on a silver platter. It comes with a cost. And, you know, so many people think that if they just say a prayer, that's kind of like the end all, that's... You know, then they can go on and live their life the way they've always lived it, because they said a prayer. Many of us refer to it as a sinner's prayer. But I look at it like a marriage ceremony where you say, "I do." And in a marriage commitment, it's not a 50-50 thing. It's 100%, 100% that we're supposed to give everything, all of ourselves, to our spouse, and in return, in exchange, they give all of themselves to us as well. And Jesus already gave this all to us, and really, he's requiring no different from us than he gave us. He wants all of us as well. And one of the things that many times that comes between us and God is our security and what we deem as what makes us secure. And this is a very sensitive topic for many people. But I want to read a scripture here to you that's out of Mark. And it starts when some children were trying to get to Jesus. And he says, and they brought, this is Mark 10, 13, he says, "And they brought young children to him, when that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was displeased, and said unto them, 'Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein.' And he put them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, don't kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor your mother and father. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I observe from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. And this is really powerful when you think about this. Jesus looked upon him with great love and said, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever you have, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he said he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about, and says to his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And if you think about it, this is like one scary statement for anybody who's lived underneath a teaching of a prosperity gospel for many years. I lived in the States most all my life until the last two, and nobody ever really said this scripture when they were talking about a prosperity that God wants to prosper you. The accountability that goes with that prosperity is actually almost scary to think that he said this statement, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? When you think about that statement, you wonder, what is God's definition of riches? How rich do you have to be? You know, most of us in our mind, a rich person is somebody richer than ourselves. And yet, really, what does God determine as a rich person? And I remember one time when I was going to buy a vehicle, and someone is going to help me, assist me in buying this vehicle, and I had put a deposit on it. And it was a long weekend, a long Memorial Day weekend, and I was going to have to wait till the end of the weekend to finish getting the finances to pay off this vehicle. But I put, I think, $300 down as a motorhome. And I'm out in the garden that weekend, and I'm hoeing weeds in the garden, and the Lord speaks to me, and he says, That motorhome is not for you. And I just kind of shot back with a little argument, like I'm going to win this argument. And I said, But Lord, it's a gift. And then he answers back some words that I'll never forget. He said, That's why it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. He can afford to be disobedient. And I realized, and I just began to weep because it just hit me so hard that it doesn't matter how much we have, whether we can afford a loss. God is calling us to obedience. And many times when we have so much, we can afford to lose a little. And that's why I realized that for many of us, our extra affords our disobedience because we don't really have to obey. And I think this is one of the reasons why when Jesus gave his requirements to be a disciple, in Luke, he mentioned that there is a cost that had to be paid in order to follow him. And first of all, he said that we can't love anybody more than him, including our own life. And then he went on to say that if we had to go pick up our cross and follow him, and lay down our life, essentially. And he said also in verse 33 of chapter 14 of Luke, he said, So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsakes not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, we can't be disciplined if we have a lot in the bank, if we don't become dependent upon the Lord for our daily bread, so to speak. See, a child, when it's interesting how many times when God is trying to make a point to people, some little children come running to him, and he says, you know, suffer them not. Let them come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So these little kids who don't worry about the bank account of how much money they got in there, how much they got stored in their barns, they just know every day their daddy's and their parents are going to feed them, that they don't have any worries, that they've always been taken care of, that they just trust. And so here comes this man running to Jesus, and he kneels at his feet. And then Jesus, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus goes through a few things, and then he's got one thing standing in the way, his stuff. His stuff was standing in the way of him and the Lord and his walk of obedience. And this is why I realized something very significant when the Lord called us to come to a foreign land where we didn't know anybody, didn't know the language. And first thing I thought of was packing a container. And the first thing he said back to me when I was thinking about a container, he says, "You're not taking a container, you're taking suitcases." And it's like, whoa, this is like, I feel a stripping coming. Because I had spent many years preparing for the future, preparing for what I see and I've seen for many years is coming down the road, that there's going to be a time of great lack in the world, and a time that many are not going to have things that they need, even food. So I began to store things. I began to store food. I had guns, ammo, you name it, whatever I could think of that I may need for the future. I was a Boy Scout, not only a Boy Scout, but I was an Eagle Scout. So the motto of a Boy Scout is be prepared. So that kind of blood just ran in my veins. So that's what I did. I prepared. And I prepared probably more than most people. What I looked like, I thought maybe I was preparing for a whole city, not just my family. But I felt like if I'm a good steward of my family, then I need to be able to take care of my family. So that's what I did. And then when the Lord just kind of put it in my heart that I wasn't going to take my preparation with me wherever He was going to take me, I was just like stripped. And I was just absolutely, I felt vulnerable. And in this place of vulnerability, I cried out to God, and I said, God, when I was stripped in that position of dependency, I said, God, if you don't feed me, I'm going to die. And He spoke back to my heart, and He said, good, now you're where I want you. And I realized that, because none of these scriptures that I've even read tonight really spoke to me until I began to live those scriptures, and then they screamed at me. Then they jumped out at me like I'd never seen them before. And I've mentioned before on this program that one of the most important things that all of us can do in our walk with the Lord is learn to discern His voice, learn to hear His voice. And because if we don't hear His voice and discern His voice, how can we be obedient to His voice? Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So one of the things when He says, "Follow me," is we have to learn how to discern His voice, because He put that very connection, very clearly in John 10:27, that my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And right sandwiched in between was an amazing blessing that comes by doing both, by learning to discern His voice and follow Him, is that He knows us. And those words are very powerful, because when you think about the importance of Him knowing us, is that that is what He's going to say to us when we stand before Him on that day when all the facade's gone and all the money's gone. That's going to be the most important thing, is that does He know us? And many of us say, "Yeah, I know the Lord." But can we really say for certain that He knows us? Nobody really asks that question. You know, we may ask somebody, "Hey, do you know the Lord?" "Oh, yeah, I know the Lord." And I was watching an evangelistic video by a guy named Ray Comfort, and he did a video just recently regarding Noah, the new movie that's out. So if you want to see this thing, it's pretty powerful. But he goes about on the streets, and he talks to people about the Lord. And, you know, many people will just claim that, "Oh, sure, I'm a Christian." And yet the fruit of their life, of course, isn't what a Christian really is, a follower of Jesus, one who's obedient in their walk. And so many people, and I remember even going out witnessing on the streets years ago, back when I lived in Dallas, and we go out on the streets in downtown Dallas, and I'd talk to people about the Lord, and the Lord had done some amazing things in my life and really had cleaned up a lot of old big messes that I was living. And I would ask somebody if they knew the Lord, and they'd say, yeah, I know Jesus. And they were doing the same things that God had cleansed out of my life. And I'm thinking, well, what's the difference of me and him? And why does he call himself a Christian? And many people believe they are saved. And the scary thing is they won't really know where they really are or not until the day that they stand before the Lord. And today is the day to really examine our lives, to really know whether we are the Lord's. And one of the things that I have found very, very critical in following the Lord is learning to discern his voice. And one of the things that we all have to do is to eliminate the voices that we know aren't God. If we want to really discern his voice, we have to eliminate the voices that we know aren't God that's speaking to us. And this is a very critical time in our own lives, in the history of time. I mentioned on the last program that the Passover on April 15th is preceded by a week of getting leaven out of the house. And this is the Feast of Passover. This is traditional from Moses that this is what they were supposed to do, is get the leaven out of the house the week before the Passover. And the leaven represents sin. And there's a blood moon on April 15th, which represents to me, as it has in many years, that there's a judgment that always is represented by a blood moon. And I kind of see it like that little red dot in the sky is like the little red dot on the oven. And it's in preheat mode right now. And the bread's about ready to go into the oven to be cooked and to be tried and to be tested. And what I really believe that the Lord has been speaking to me is that we are getting ready to enter into a very testing, trying time in the world, and that what is claimed to be is going to be tested. Peter thought that he was ready to die for the Lord, and he didn't know that he wasn't ready to die until the test came, until he was actually in that moment in that courtyard when he was being asked, "You're one of them." And he realized that Jesus was in a very precarious moment, being captured by the Roman soldiers and being beaten. And I'm sure he had visions of himself going through the same thing. And he wasn't really ready for what he thought he was. And now today is the day to really find out whether you're really ready for the tests that are coming. And one way that we can really pass the test is if we will lay down our whole life right now. And one of the evidences of whether we have really truly laid down our whole life for the Lord is whether our stuff is the Lord's too. So this is something that, if you really want to find out whether your whole life is the Lord's, what if he asked you to give up everything you had? What if he asked you to sell everything you own and then go wherever he tells you to go, because all you're going to go with is suitcases? Would you do it? Is your stuff your security, or is the Lord and his voice? And one of the things that over the last 28 years, that just learning to discern his voice just in the day-by-day activity, knowing that it's him speaking to us. And many times you'll know it's his voice because it's a corrective voice. It's something that he's trying to change in us. And the biggest problem that we have is if we aren't willing to listen to the little things that he's saying in our life, then we begin to deafen our ears to his voice. And then we become almost like a Judas that held the bag. It says that Judas dipped his hand in the bag in the book of John. Jesus gave Judas a very privileged position in his ministry. He was like the treasurer. He held the bag. But the Bible says that he dipped his hand in the bag. And the way that I see that is like God speaking to Judas to be a good, faithful steward, but he didn't want to be. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to take, to make secure his life with more than he was given. And many times a thief really is a very insecure person that they don't really trust what they have to be enough. They need more, so they have to steal from somebody else. And many times it's just an act of disobedience. And it's in the daily activity that really we're tested in, just the little things. Somebody gives us too much change at a store. Do we say, thank you, Lord, and stick it in our pocket? Or do we say, hey, you gave me too much. This is more than I should have gotten. Many times when I've done that, if that's happened to me, the person looks at me and goes, well, that's like weird because nobody gives back change. And it gives me a chance to say, well, it's only the Lord that in my life that I would have done that. Otherwise, I would have kept it for myself. And it gives an opportunity to share the Lord with somebody. But these are little pop tests that all of us go through in a day-by-day activity and a day-by-day life. And these are the things that give us the strength to pass our final exam. And I believe the times are going to be testing in the near future. And what we really are is going to be revealed. You know, if you have leaven in the loaf of bread, it can't be hidden because it's going to make the bread rise. And the Bible says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump because the properties of leaven can't help but be manifested. And that property is it gives off CO2 gas, which puffs up the bread. And I see that as leaven causes pride in us. It causes us to think something of ourselves that really isn't true, that we get puffed up as well. And also, it releases alcohol, not only in, but the leaven as part of the byproducts is CO2 and alcohol. And alcohol causes us to be lethargic. We can't think clearly. We think something is true that's not true. So now's the time to really examine our hearts, examine our lives, and make sure all the leaven is out of our life, that the times are going to be testing in the future, and we need to make sure that we're ready, because he's going to come in an hour that we think not. So now's the time to prepare. Now's the time to be ready for the testing and really examine our hearts. Thank you again for joining us on Strength for the Journey. Again, our website is strength4thejourney.com. And I hope you enjoyed the program, and we'll see you next week.